I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene Podcast.
Jason, did you get any breakfast today?
No, breakfast for me.
You didn't get bought no. Is it Tim Hortons or something?
No Tim Hortons.
Okay.
Do you know what? Actually, you bring up a good point, because now that we're on camera, we can ask this.
Yeah.
So when's the money coming in?
Oh, that's quality. That is actually quality.
No breakfast.
How do you know that the money hasn't started coming in?
Because I've been checking my account since.
Man said the payroll, you know.
The payroll.
Guys, that is down to you, the listeners and the viewers, okay, to make sure that we
put it on the audience.
Yeah.
That's a nervous laugh.
Sorry, guys. I got, for context for our audio listeners, we got ourselves some Tim Hortons breakfast this morning. When I say we, I mean myself. And
you got it right in the middle of the shot.
Yes,
well,
that's
actually.
Cats. I don't know why she left it here. And I got it for our producer, Kat, because she texted me.
Give it to me.
Saying that she was in a bit of a bad mood, you know? And I was like, oh, let me make sure that my staff members, that my team, feel welcome and feel beautiful. Now that I say this out loud, I realize I've said my team, and I'm sitting next to you guys. So
yeah, so now we know the context for next time. If we're ever in a bad mood,
let me know. If you're on the way to shoot and you're on time and you're in a bad mood, next time, I guarantee you, I'll get you breakfast.
So that rules out Manny completely.
Yeah.
I don't know what Jason's laughing. You're not here half the time.
No.
Half the time I am here. That's why I'm going to cut in.
There was no smile on his face. That was Batman-esque.
He meant that.
And to be fair, we're all meant to be at 9:30. I know Huss wasn't here at 9:30 either, so technically we're all late. So I'm good with that.
Okay, I was represented by Kat. Kat was here.
No. No, you weren't here, bro.
You know what I'm saying?
But you weren't here, bro.
I was getting breakfast.
That's fine, but you weren't here.
I ran a corner.
That's fine, you weren't here.
Also, the problem was, yeah, was that Kat has the key. So we couldn't get in anyway. You know what I mean? So,
Paulina let us in.
No. I'm saying for the...
For the office.
Oh. The office, yeah. It's peak.
So Manny kind of has a point that us being on time would have been pointless. Well,
it would have absolutely been pointless, but it's because I'm the one talking to Kat, but I can't tell you guys, hey, be later. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you would have saved Jason a couple
a
of hours.
Earlier.
No.
Half hour sleep.
Bro, I found out at like 9.
It's too late. Should have been there earlier.
Yeah.
Jason, how you been? It's been a minute since we've seen you, bro.
Oh, bro, it's been about...
6 months?
Yeah, 6 months. Yeah,
I can tell Manny's on it today.
I found my breakfast.
Hey.
You know when everyone says Drake's got ghostwriters, that's going to be Manny's thing for Jason.
Oh, man.
You're never here.
Look, I'm here. Good to be back. Everyone's favourite part-timer.
Yes, sir.
That could be your slogan.
That is a good slogan.
Everyone's favourite part. I like that.
Okay, cool.
I was thinking to get
you should have. Oh, you don't want it now.
No. I want it. Yeah.
Everyone's favorite part timer is not bad.
I was thinking to get us like Marvel PCS hats. You know, like a Kevin Feige hat, but no one wears but him. I've never seen anyone wear hats the way that
he wears.
I don't
know which hat you're referring to.
He wears like a Deadpool hat, and he wears like just different hats. I want to get us like a PCS one, and at the back of it, we'll have our nicknames. Like, guys would be like Handsome Host. You'll be like part timer. I'll be like sexy Sudanese. And then, you know.
Whoa!
This is gonna be a water that he's not impressed.
Hey. I'm not impressed.
Then we're good. So yeah.
Yeah, he's not impressed. I can't lie. That cut was funny though.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, it was a funny cut. What was that? Monkey Man. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Monkey Man. Very good film. Quick thoughts, Jason? Any brief thoughts about Monkey Man?
Oh, fantastic film! I love that he put his politics kind of like in the heart of the movie,
front and center.
Yes, sir.
And like, especially how he, you know, was able to make the Hijra community like quite visible and kind of like shine light on them and kind of like shine light on the Islamophobia and everything that's going on there.
Transphobia,
but yeah. But in terms of an action film as well, I think
superb,
straight
man.
To the point, superb. And I think people have already said it before, but I love what he is doing the same way. And maybe because Jordan Peele is the executive producer, maybe the comparison is that way. But like the way he's able to put his own experiences as an Asian, South Asian man mm-hmm. into his film, same way that Jordan Peele kind of like has the African-American black experiences in his film.
Right.
Does a very, very similar thing.
That's a really, really good point. I saw someone say in our comments, Monkey Paul needed this after Nope. And I was like, rah.
Do you know what?
Was Nope that bad?
Do you know what? Because
I enjoyed Nope.
The one thing that I've started doing lately, and I should stop doing it, is argue in the comments. I don't do it for PCS because of image purposes.
What are you talking about? Create that conversation in the comments, bro.
Yeah, but you just gotta be like PR.
Like, I be fighting people in the comments about stupid film takes that they have, and
I think we should do that. And thing you're saying, an episode on our hate comments.
A whole episode.
Yeah, but hilarious, bro.
We've had quite a few. I think we've had.
Persona gets the hate comments.
Persona does get the hate comments.
One Mean Girls clip. No, wait, not
it wasn't Mean Girls. It was
Oppenheimer clip. Oh my days, fam! That was hilarious, bro.
Do you know what?
And you had some mares in like season one and two.
Yeah,
yeah.
You had some Marvel moments.
Mainly season one, and then when season two, I started putting when it was like the Marvel thing. People were backing me. Oh yeah, this was pretty cool. Yeah, it was getting bare views. And then when Marvel started flopping, and I was still backing them.
What's this guy talking about? He don't know nothing.
Guy's a fucking idiot. Bro, so guy called me a moron.
I remember that comment as well because that was just that.
Bro,
no,
just a moron.
No context. He's like, this guy's just a moron. I was like, come on, man.
Hilarious, man.
Yeah, I could definitely do an episode. Or a segment.
I actually think
at this point we've garnered enough.
I generally thought like when we get bigger, I'm not saying that we're huge, but like I thought the comments would bother me, but they're so funny, man. I think it's because we're trolls, isn't it? You know what I'm saying?
Look, it's the way
comments are so funny, man.
Riley from Boondock says, if they ain't hating, you ain't doing it right.
Yeah, I hear it.
There you go.
I hear it.
Boy. The Post-Credit Scene Podcast. A 14 HQ original, lovers of film and TV.
But no one gets a gas.
Nobody does gas.
No one gets a gas, man. Fucking prick. Do you know why? Because every cut starts with, yeah, man, so what do you think about this? Dickhead, bro. You know what he's doing? He's
always throws the catch.
That's what he's doing.
I said, like, I'm the guy that edits them. but the Post-Credit Scene Podcast, a 14 HQ original, lovers of film and TV. I'm joined by Manny, Huss, and Jason. Guys, yes, how are you doing?
I'm all good, by guys.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all right, man. I'm halfway through the month of my detox from alcohol.
Oh, you did drink yesterday?
Nice.
No. Fair enough.
No, you slag.
Yeah, halfway through the month. It's going well.
Nice.
I'll be back at MMA, though. Don't worry about it.
our friend is struggling.
Oh, no names. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday he told me about it.
He was struggling. He's like, I miss drinking. I'm like, nigga, get a grip.
Yeah.
It's been 2 weeks. So get a grip.
There's no, because he's out all the time. That's the problem. When he's at home.
But I've been out all year. I don't feel that.
No, but Jeez, man,
he's outside,
No, but he's done it every year, though. Like you've trained your brain to, like, not need it. Every year, you take at least a month to 3 months off. You know what I'm saying?
I've not done 3 months until now.
You've done 2 months, right?
Yeah, I did 50 days.
Yeah. So, like, you've trained your mind to be like, I don't need this.
No, I need to get a grip.
I hear it.
I like this A&A meeting that we're having right now.
No, it's calm. It's actually not. I'll be back.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm back in June. I can't wait.
I'll be back. Don't get it twisted. I don't want anyone to get it twisted. I'm fucked.
Okay, fair enough.
If we record the day before or the weekend before, flat out to Malta, I'm gonna sip something. I'm gonna break my drink.
Yeah, sir. You know the vibes.
I wanna do a
alcoholics help podcast.
Nah. I wanna do a pod in fingers at DLT.
Yeah, it's impossible. I'm telling you now, it's not happening.
Nah, man, it should be, man. Just one episode.
Okay, you could try it. You'll see how it goes.
Just one episode.
You could try.
The life that you're living now, you
this is not going to happen, bro.
Good luck.
This is not happening.
The Post-Credit Scene Podcast is back, or we are back, and we've got an interesting episode today.
Yes.
And the reason for this episode, the reason we've wanted to do this, is because there's been a lot of debate since we started this podcast 2.5 years ago, whenever it was, about two films, and specifically one film.
Yeah.
And when we started this podcast, it was an interesting time because I think within like the space of 3 months, maybe, one of my favorite films of the last 3 years came out in Matt Reeves' The Batman.
Yeah. Yes,
superb comic book film, in my opinion. And it stirred a lot of opinion between us guys in terms of, right, where does this film rank in terms of comic book films? And where does this rank in terms of Batman films? And now we know the gold dust of the Batman films has been The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Nolan's one of his standout films for sure. So today we're here to sort of compare, contrast, and come up with which is the best Batman film. Guys, where do you stand just on those two films? Before we delve into the comparison itself, where do you guys stand in terms of these two films, what they mean to you, why you like these films, and so forth. Open Floor, really and truly. Manny?
Where'd you make the coffee? You're not going to start talking.
That's because this is coming
out. So you've been 2 minutes, they're already at it. They're already at it.
Of course you go.
Yeah, that's the absolute staples in what proved to be like, we can take superhero films seriously. You know, yeah. Like,
would you say Batman Begins was like the start of that, where like, yeah, wrong, Spider-Man 1 and Spider-Man 2 were like great films, but they were also very camp in a sense.
Of course, yeah. Like, they were very comic book.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas we could take the Batman as a sort of a thriller in itself, a serious, yeah, film to enjoy.
Especially the third one was essentially a drama for like the first like half of it. You know what I'm saying? It was deep. So no, yeah, no. No,
but my point is just to make sure people understand is Batman Begins kind of started where we could start to take these superhero films and comic book films, yeah, seriously. And that's not to disrespect, yeah, films that came before. I love X-Men 2. I love the
X-Men. But they worked more on the plot, on the storyline. Do you know what I'm saying?
I would. A lot more grounded.
Yeah, and also it was, like, for me, it was the character building. Like every single person had, like, a ridiculous, like, purpose. Whereas traditionally in superhero films or comic book films, okay, they focus on the superhero and the villain's purpose, maybe like a side character, but everyone else is just not really in the film. So, like, yeah, the best example that I can use, like, Flash in Spider-Man with Tobey Maguire and blah, blah, blah. Like, they're actually big characters in Peter Parker's growth, right? Yeah. We see him in that fight scene in the kitchen event. That's it. Whereas in Tom Holland's one now, Flash is a constant. You know, like, and I think that's because of Batman Begins stuff. They're showing people that actually to have like a more well-rounded story, you need to get everybody involved within the story as if they have their own arcs. But a lot of time from 1991 to like 2009. Ish, maybe 2000. I think the film came out at Dark Knight in 2005, innit, or something like that.
Batman Begins. 2005. Batman Begins.
Until then, there wasn't really strong storylines for more than two characters.
Right. So, Manny, question for you, bro.
Yes.
As a Nolan savant, I would say.
Yes.
And a fan.
Yes.
Alongside, obviously, the help of his brother.
Yes. Big help from his brother.
I was trying to help you out there, you know. Talk to me about your thoughts on just Nolan's sort of cinematic style and how that came to prominence with, let's say the Batman Begins, but more so focusing on the Dark Knight. Before we get into our overall podcast comparison.
Yeah. I think that with the Dark Knight trilogy, he takes a different approach in terms of his cinematic style in filmmaking, especially when you compare it to his previous films like The Following, The Prestige, Insomnia, which were all films that came out. Well, The Prestige came out after the Batman Begins came out a year later.
What a film that is, by the way.
My favourite Nolan film. So there's like a different approach, and it makes sense because obviously this is a comic film. It's not necessarily, it doesn't give you the freedom to create the type of film they usually do, like he has done it since then with Inception and Interstellar.
Source material, right?
Yeah. So there's some previous stuff that he has to stick by, which kind of limits in terms of how he would do filmmaking. But it's still a Nolan film. You can tell there's a lot of Nolan within it. And I appreciate the challenge that he took on with such film. I wouldn't be mad if he took on another comic book franchise and tried to create a universe on the back of that. But yeah, it was nice to see Nolan in that bag. It definitely made me realise and appreciate his other films a lot more. But I do like the fact that he took that approach.
Interesting. And Jason, As another savant on the podcast of just film as a whole, yeah, I'm giving you your flowers, bro, because I'm never here, so, you know.
Gotta get them in, because we don't get many of them.
Everyone's part-time favourite, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Talk to me about just Batman's legacy as a character. Why do you think he's been able to be so constant in the sort of fandom and the space of fandom, considering we've been told this similar story for numerous amount of time, but people are still so invested in Batman as a character and just his sort of evolvement in pop culture?
Evolvement in pop culture? What a question, by the way. But like,
quite long-winded on that, I'm sorry.
No. But like, Batman as a whole, isn't it? Like, throughout the entire comic book series and in its film iterations, right? Batman as a character embodies the idea of like the indomitable spirit of like human
spirit. I couldn't even say that word.
like you know, like the idea of like as a human being, especially like him being the only superhero in the DC, well, not the only, but like one of the few and definitely the main superhero who does not have any particular superpower.
Right, like, very grounded in a sense,
very
right?
Very grounded, and it's his resilience, it's his mentality that is kind of like, you know, makes him like do the things that he does. Like, you know, he never gives up, and it kind of like speaks to kind of like a human or a humanistic ideal in the sense of like the reason why he's still so relevant is because we aspire to be that.
Oh,
we aspire to be the type of person who never wants to give up, never wants to do the like anything like that. And I think that concept in itself translates into almost everything, and has inspired so many other things afterwards, like, and then just kind of like bring it back to today because he's got such a simple backstory in the sense of like his parents died and then therefore he became the Batman essentially. It's like you can take that concept and then create so many variations of it. You've seen it in so many comic books where Batman has become so different. You've seen it in the films where, while they still follow the same kind of like approach, each Batman film that we've gotten so far to this day has been different.
It's been very different.
Like every single Batman.
And they focus on different things as well.
They focus on different aspects, like obviously, and we'll definitely get into it more, like, but the Batman and the Dark Knight franchise focus on different aspect.
Even if you look at Tim Burton's Batman,
I was going to say as well. That was
that's a lot more what guys were saying. Where it's a lot more camp.
It's a lot more.
Did you know? I think the was it Mel Gibson Batman and Robin, 1997. That was hella camp.
Mel Gibson, or do you mean
not Mel Gibson? Who was it?
The other one,
Adam West.
No, Adam West.
That was way before. Adam West was
1997. Who did Batman 1997?
It's
George Clooney.
George Clooney, that's the one. That was hella camp.
But just funny, he wasn't that camp, but
everyone around him.
The film was so camp.
I feel like Michael Keaton's one and Tim Burton's one. It wasn't like I watched it when we were doing the Batman run 2 years ago, and it wasn't as camp as I remember. And I feel like Batman Returns was actually quite serious.
Do you think that the villains make it more camp because they didn't have the CGI at the time to, you know what I'm saying?
No, because people like
Doctor Freeze was crazy, fam.
Doctor Freeze was in
was in a George Clooney one.
That's the camp one. But we had Penguin.
He was cold though.
Yeah, Penguin was cold. We had
Jack
Nicholson's Joker in the first Batman.
Yes.
Historic as well.
And I wouldn't class those films as necessary camp.
And
I think
Riddler was in who?
I think when people think about
the essence,
they are
Riddler was in Batman and Robin.
About the time.
The time.
Yeah.
As well, like in particular, because I think when people talk about like Batman himself, like George Clooney is the one that they go to where it's just like, oh,
but even with Adam West and even some of the cartoons. Batman was definitely looked as a campy character, yeah.
Val Kilmer as well. So what we'll do, I'm just going to go through the two casts quickly and then we'll get into the pod. So, The Dark Knight, 2008 film, Christopher Nolan, starred the likes of Christian Bale, Heath Ledger, Aaron Eckhart, Michael Caine, the legend, Maggie Gyllenhaal. I will always remember Stephen A. Smith.
Sorry.
Have you guys seen that clip?
God. How could you not have?
If I could pull it up now.
Yeah. And I don't want to say it because I won't do it justice.
You guys actually have to.
If you pull it up in the edit, we'll do it as a.
Yeah, we'll add it in the post. We'll make a note
pull
of
it
that.
Do you think I'm going to pull it up?
It's a legendary clip of Stephen A. Smith essentially saying that Maggie Gyllenhaal didn't hit
as a leading lady.
Rachel Dawes.
Okay. Yeah, bro, I was supposed to make a bad comment, yeah.
Yeah, don't, please, because the last time I did that, I had to make an edit. Maggie Gyllenhaal, she starred in this film. Manny's going to get the clip up, but as we carry on, Gary Oldman, what an actor from Gary Oldman, great performance as Jim Gordon. Morgan Freeman, Lucien Grange, it's a great cast. Cillian Murphy, Scarecrow, and it's easy to forget that he's in that film, Cillian Murphy. But he's in at the beginning, right? Manny's got the clip ready for us.
No, he's not. He's in, he is, you're right. Sorry.
No, what was you saying?
No, sorry. I was talking about the wrong film.
No, he's at the beginning with the other goons who are pretending to be Batman.
Yeah.
Anyway, there we go.
Finally,
He was podded, man.
He was.
Stephen Smith, a friend of the show.
That's a quality clip, man. The Batman, 2002, a film that I didn't know how I was going to feel about it. Robert Pattinson stars as Bruce Wayne, Zoe Kravitz, Selina Kyle, Jeffrey Wright, superb actor. Shout out to you for American Fiction as James Gordon, Colin Farrell, wow, Penguin. Oh, yep. Yes. We'll get into that. Paul Dano, the Riddler. Goodness me. John Turturro played Carmen Falcone. Andy Serkis as Alfred. Peter Skarsgård played the district attorney. Barry Cohen. No, well, he's kind of in that, the clip that came out after, right? So that's not certainly right.
Is that, so when I watched in the cinema, I was so sure that that scene happens like after the film is done. But when I watched it the other day, it happens before we get the final monologue of the Batman.
It wasn't in the film when we watched it in the cinema.
That's what I was thinking.
It wasn't.
Okay, so they must have added it into it because I watched it within the film.
Yeah,
it was. Makes sense.
Definitely makes sense in that regard. So two star-studded cast, undeniable in terms of the acting ability in these two films. What we'll do then, Jason, just a quick one. How did you feel about The Batman, just as a film, you know?
Oh, The Batman, I loved it, especially like after we came out of the cinema. I think after we shot our ep on it, I was like, this is the second best Batman iteration that we've had.
Second best, interesting. Really letting us know where your allegiance is like.
Film or Batman?
Batman. And in terms of film, like, okay, I'm not going to go with something as crazy as one of the best films I've ever seen. But like initially, first reaction, I was fully in love with it.
What about the film's narrative stood out to you and sort of the themes from The Batman? Why do you think those themes were so prominent and evident in the film?
Well, it's because in terms of the themes, I guess, it's like, as you said earlier, like it didn't feel like you're absolutely traditional superhero film, and that might just be because of the Dark Knight's influence, but it felt more of a thriller, and it felt more of like you're not watching,
is this the Batman or the Dark Knight?
This is the Batman.
Like a thriller to you?
It felt more
interesting. I would say the Dark Knight is more of a thriller.
I think the Batman's more of a dark drama.
Yeah, it's a crime in the world.
I was using the word thriller wrong in the sense of like, yeah, it's more like a dark drama in the sense of like, especially from its film aspect, it felt very like noir from like the back in the day aspects of, you know, 1950s detective films and whatnot. And it focused a lot more on those aspects, whereas in comparison, like, I guess with the Dark Knight itself felt more traditionally action thriller type of thing. And that approach is what I appreciated a lot, because I think, you know, because this is the first Batman since the Dark Knight. As a
solo film, yes. We had Ben Affleck play the Batman in DC Universe.
Do you know what? Yeah, fair enough.
I can't lie. I think if Ben Affleck got some solo films that were actually well written, he would have killed it.
I'm still on the fence on Ben Affleck. Who knows this? We've been arguing for ages, and I do not like him, and I'd never felt.
You're the only guy that even says that.
What? That
Ben Affleck was a good Batman, bro. He was just in weak films.
Yeah, I guess, but.
And he gave us probably the best action scene that I've seen from my Batman in the warehouse. The warehouse fight scene is insane.
Bro, the crazy thing is, he might have given us the best cameo as Batman ever in the same the worst film in the
what, Batman versus Superman.
The Flash.
And
that was like half a cameo.
Good cameo.
That was like half a cameo.
Good cameo.
Apparently they cut bare that scene out, fam. You know what I'm saying?
Michael Keaton went crazy in that as well, though, to be fair.
Michael went crazy in that one, did. Bro. But yeah, so Ben Affleck, best Batman that we've seen.
Interesting.
Sure. Anyway. But, anyway.
And in comparison, how did you feel about The Dark Knight as a film in terms of the themes and the narrative?
Okay, I'm just going to get that out there. Because I rewatched The Dark Knight like last night, and in terms of the themes, right? Like, one underlying thing that I don't think anyone has mentioned it so far.
You heard it here first on the post-credit scene podcast.
As far as I'm aware, it's like the theme in itself is a little bit philosophical in the idea of like with Joker being kind of like an agent of chaos and
Batman being order.
And then even Harvey Dent kind of like, and they make mentions of it in the sense of like, are we here because of the choices that we've made, or are we here because fate has decided it? And the fact that Harvey Dent and eventually who becomes Two-Face embodies the idea of like, let's fate decide whatever actions we take next. Mm-hmm. It does kind of like throw like those, not in a deep way, but like those philosophical ideas off to the point where when I watched it as a kid, I never picked up on those like underlying themes. Right. And I was like, oh wow, like it made me appreciate Nolan so much more because yeah. like, you know, on the surface, you Jonathan. Still got such a fantastic film, huh?
I'm being a dickhead. Don't
oh, okay,
I said Jonathan.
Jonathan, okay, fair enough. The Nolan brothers.
Yeah.
and then underlying it, like, especially, you know, from all the films we've reviewed so far and kind of like the skills we picked up in terms of analyzing things and stuff like that, you look at it a little bit deeper and you're like, wow, there's still so much to uncover after watching it. And yeah, I think that it just put the ranking for my or the appreciation for that film so much more
interesting
in that aspect.
Because where do you stand on The Dark Knight?
I think The Dark Knight is top two superhero films we've ever gotten. Ever. Bro, like obviously in preparation for this episode, I've rewatched all of them and The Batman. All of them, amazing films. But The Dark Knight, just in particular, from the start, like literally right from the get, probably the best opening scene, forget for a superhero film, for a film I've ever seen. You know, that bank scene was just incredible. The music, the pacing of it, and I think
photography beautiful.
Yeah, and I think I read, okay, you get 9 different scenes in this one take, and it's crazy because you get the guy on the roof, you get the guy in the bank, you get the guy on the bus, you get the guy. It's nuts, bro. And like the music is so sick, it's bouncy, and that's the start. That's right at the start. And then Heath Ledger obviously steals the show.
Yeah,
obviously. And he owns every scene. The scene with the mobsters in the meat factory place, or whatever.
My
father.
and it had like the Chinese guy Lao on the TV, and he's talking to him as if he's not even there, fam.
Yeah, you
know
what
I mean, if any switches off the TV.
Exactly.
I know a cow. I know a squealer when I see one.
Yeah,
if it just locks off.
He's like, hey, man, I'm not on it.
I'm sorry. But I swear down, like it was so sick. And then, there was even the part where even like after that scene, the mobsters didn't really take him too seriously. You know what I'm saying? Because he also half their piece.
Yeah,
it's like, I think it was like 68 mil that was stolen, so they're asking for like half that piece. It's just so sick. And there's like a means to an end, because at the start, okay, you think, all right, cool, he's a mercenary. If you're like not like a quote guy and you're watching that film, you're thinking he is just a lunatic mercenary,
yeah,
safe. And then you go on, and when he burns the money and etc., and he's essentially just saying to you like, yo, like, boy, like I don't care about any of this, I'm just tapped, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just here to fight.
And then all the scenes when he spoke to Batman in the prison cell, oh my God, absolutely outstanding. The scene where he claps for Jim Gordon, which was an improvised scene, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, incredible.
You know what Horse is doing? He's really just summarizing the whole pod in terms of each.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, it's just like Heath Ledger steals the absolute show. And everybody just has to play a good supporting role, including Batman.
Yeah, literally.
You know what I mean?
Literally.
But just have to do a solid 7 out of 10, and the film is a 10/10. That's all you got to do.
Interesting.
All you got to do. It's just like, LeBron is dragging you to the title, and then AD just got put up like 15 rebounds, like 20 rebounds. Just do your job.
I think the Batman does just as good a job in terms of setting the tone for a film as the Dark Knight does, personally.
Introduces
its villain. Because it's dark.
I hadn't finished talking, but the film introduced its villain very early on, just like the Dark Knight did.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Dano. What's a performance from Paul Dano, by the way?
Fantastic. Yeah,
and I kind of feel like he's just kind of, these are his roles. Somewhat typecast.
I'd bang him though.
Whoa.
I'd bang him.
Pause?
No, as in like, fight.
You asked that as a question.
Was
like,
you?
Yeah?
was you that said that after, must have been.
I watched him in The Prisoners.
The
Prisoner?
Prisoner. Because I watched, obviously after watching Civil War, my guy, the guy's in Black Mirror. He's in Breaking Bad. What's his name? Funny looking guy. He's in Civil War. He's in that scene where there's a... Look, he just walked in.
He's
in that scene where there's the dead bodies event, the girl falls into the pit.
Oh, Jesse something.
Yeah.
Pellens? Jesse.
But yeah, him.
Jesse Pittman. Like, him, that's the character's
name. No.
Him, after watching that, him, Paul Dano, because I watched...
Jesse Plemons.
Paul Dano, because I watched Paul Dano in Spaceman recently. And I was like, bro, like, I love these guys as supporting actors.
That's superb. Yeah.
And like, I'm not saying they don't deserve to have leading roles. I'm sure they'll be great at it. But I don't care. Just give me supporting roles for the rest of your life. Because you lot smash it every single time. Yeah. Like, every single time. But yeah, sorry. Go on.
No, I was just saying, the opening of The Batman is insane for Paul Dano. And the way it sets the tone for sort of the corruption from the mayor.
Yeah.
And his role in being his role in essentially the way Gotham is today, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And why Paul Dano's doing what he's doing. And then we get Robert Pattinson and his monologue. Oh my God, that monologue is so sick. Sets the tone for what Gotham is, sets the tone for who this Batman is as well. Mm. He was spitting bars in that monologue. And I really loved the way Gotham was captured in that opening sort of 10 minutes. And obviously the fight scene at the tube station with those goons. Unreal.
I think the way that the Batman sets the scene, like, really lets you know what the film is going to be about and showcases every single element of the film that you actually need to know. And even the way that Paul Dano kills the mayor with the heavy breathing, having Maria in the background. Mm. Like, it's in, not to get too far ahead, but I guess we're going to talk about it later. But I just love the parallels between the Batman and Paul Dano, and even the scene of Riddler looking at the mayor, aligning his target. And then we get the exact same scene of Batman doing the same thing with Catwoman, because that was his target at the time, showcasing the parallels. Like, we'll talk about it more, but I just appreciate the fact they've done it right at the beginning of the film, and then we saw it not long after with the Batman and Catwoman.
Which of the films you think established what this film was going to be about better?
I think the Batman did.
Mm. I think the Batman did.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But I think that the Dark Knight couldn't have. I think that it was, if it did, it would have ruined the film. I think the fact that in every quarter of the film we got a twist was the best part of the film. You know what I mean? When the Joker got caught, and then if you're watching it in the fixed cinema, you're thinking, yo, it's been like an hour and 40 minutes, okay, the film's done. You know what I'm saying? And you realise, I've got 45 minutes left. Something's happening. You know what I mean? Okay, like, when, Jim Gordon dies, you know, or alleged death.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? All these things, okay, are things that we wouldn't and shouldn't have been preempted. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, so I think, yes, the Batman tells you what the film is about a lot better, but I think it's at the advantage of The Dark Knight.
I mean, I think it kind of like sets the tones, but I don't necessarily think the Batman tells
the Batman was a lot more predictable than the
Batman does. It kind of does, because the opening scene is of the mayor watching his debate with candidate.
I'm with you now.
It kind of sets, like, in terms of like, oh, this is what the film is about.
Yeah,
it's a lot more predictable than...
I don't think
predictable is
not the word.
I was going to say, like, predictable might not be the word, but I get where you're coming from in that sense, where it's like, you know what you're getting yourself into. I would argue the reasons for that is, like, it's because the villains are different. The Riddler, as himself, has always been somebody who's a little bit more meticulous and methodical, whereas the Joker is, like...
But I think that's why
that speaks to the two films, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But I think that's why Heath and the film was so good. I think because I watched all the films this week. Yeah, when Heath Ledger like talks to the Batman, he has like what 80% of just lunacy, where he's just talking shit. You know what I'm saying? But the 20% when he's talking, you think this guy's a genius. You know what I mean? Mm. Everything he's saying is very, very, like, it's all the ethical questions that we ask each other.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
And he's saying it to him like people. I think there was like a scene where he said to Batman, like, "Oh, like people are fickle. They think they want peace. They think they want but give them a slight push, and then
that's what I'm saying about like explodes, the idea of like it being actually quite philosophical, like in a sense,
yeah,
the ethics and behind it.
The comment that, like that he made to Batman, he was like, "Oh, what do you call it? If a homeless person dies, and if a soldier gets shot down, then no one does anything because that is the norm in society. It's a norm, okay? You kill one mayor." And everyone lose their minds.
Yeah.
You set yourself up for that, didn't you?
Yeah. You were just looking for the segue into it.
But do you see what I'm saying, though? It's just the fact that, like, because of this stuff, the Joker almost toes, like, the whole line of, like, the film doing this, you know? And it's fantastic.
In terms of the Batman ethos and the Batman themes, we're talking about justice, vengeance, morality, trauma, and the balance between light and dark as a theme, as a part of Batman, as a part of Bruce Wayne. Talk to me about, maybe I'll go over to you, Manny.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think the difference is in between the Dark Knight and the Batman in terms of portraying those themes of justice, vengeance, morality, the light and dark balance in compared to the Batman?
Let's also be clear that these Batmans are at different stages of their
careers. Yeah.
Yeah, different stages of their careers, you know, in that sense as well, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what a massive difference is. I think with the Batman, Robert Pattinson's portrayal of it, his character is definitely more in a dark area in his life, and he still hasn't figured out what type of...
He's a rookie, bro.
Rookie is still what type of vigilante he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
No, he's year two.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And he needed... especially, there's a scene like towards the end, because obviously throughout the whole film, he calls himself I'm vengeance, and even gets told that he's vengeance. There's a scene towards the end of the film where one of the Riddler's lackeys or supporters gets caught by Gordon, Jeffrey Wright's character, and asks him, who are you? Is that me? I'm vengeance. And then it cuts to the scene of Robert Pattinson's Batman turning to the side and looking to the character. And I think at that moment, he realised what I'm doing is not what I'm supposed to be doing. Yeah. I'm going all about it the wrong way. So the ethos is similar, but the way they want to get to that is a bit different. They both are in turmoil because Christian Bale's Batman is in turmoil in the point that, yes, I've been Batman all this time, but I can no longer be Batman. Somebody else needs to take up this mantle. So he's struggling. So he's struggling with not wanting to be Batman. But what the difference is that Christian Bale's the Batman was struggling with that turmoil because he wanted to be Bruce Wayne. He wanted to stop being the Batman because he wanted to have a life.
He wanted to have a life with Rachel.
Yeah, but he wants to...
Specifically.
Okay,
but then I think there was also the fact that he actually thought that Gotham would be better.
Yeah,
with
yeah, exactly. Death. Without yeah,
because
exactly.
of Rachel. Let's not.
No, sure. that plays a role.
But Rachel only wanted because
it plays a role. But I don't think
because she doesn't want him to be Batman anymore.
Exactly, but let's not forget at the start of Batman Rises, he hasn't been Batman for 8 years. Obviously, because of the whole thing.
Dark Knight Rises, you mean?
Sorry, yeah. Okay. And but it's also because like what's name? He says that he can't have a life. He's been bedbound for years. Blah blah. Because his life was with Rachel. So actually, really and truly, he didn't see a life outside of Batman without Rachel. So actually it's back to the beauty of the comic book character in Batman, where he's just stuck in this cycle of nobody can get him out of doing what he's doing. So I don't think he wants to be Bruce Wayne. I think he just wanted company.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be able to get a company if he wasn't Bruce Wayne. That's the whole point.
As in,
or if he was Batman.
And he can't be Batman with Rachel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
the point.
That was like the whole point.
He can. Yes, the argument is that he wanted to be Bruce Wayne with her, but he still wanted to be Bruce Wayne because that's the only way he could be with her. So he still wanted to be Bruce Wayne. Mm. So that's what his turmoil was, in terms of like he wanted to leave Batman behind to become Bruce Wayne. While the turmoil with Robert Pattinson is that he definitely wants to be Batman. He just wasn't sure the type of Batman they wanted to be. It was more so the difference in terms of like becoming vengeance or becoming the Batman, becoming the crusader or symbol of Gotham. And that's what I think the philosophical difference between those two characters was, is the type of person that they want to be. One wanted to shed the the weightness of being the Batman and everything that comes with it and move on and have a life with whoever we want to have a life with, while the other wanted to figure out what kind of life he wanted to have as Batman.
Yeah,
I think interestingly it's also important to remember that at the start of The Dark Knight we see the copycats, right? And that's, that plays a small part in comparison, but also plays a small part into the whole concepts of superheroes and vigilantes and people who think that we can mimic these heroes.
Yeah, exactly.
And we can be like them, and really we can't. And it plays a role in his discussions with Alfred, where they're talking about, oh, these copycats and these mimics and these guys that are trying to be like me, they can't. And should I still be doing this when there's people also trying to mimic me? If that makes
sense. It's funny because like towards the third quarter of the film, he talks to Gordon and to Harvey literally about anybody can be Batman. That's the point. It's funny because at the start he was like, nobody can be Batman, like, but me. Mm-hmm. So
he said that.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't think it's more like anybody can be Batman. It's more like anybody can be like the symbol of.
No, he said that though. Yes.
But, like, in that sense.
That was like the actual quote. But yeah, he goes on to say that Batman is a thing. No, he doesn't. Gordon does.
Yeah. But
out of the two films, which do you think best sort of resolve those themes of vengeance, justice, morality, trauma, dealing with those?
I think it's unfair because I think The Dark Knight had a third film.
We're forgetting the third film.
No, but the third film was his vengeance film.
Yeah, but...
You know what I'm saying?
But we're just comparing the themes of Batman. You can still... If Christopher Nolan wanted to make vengeance a theme, he had the choice to do so.
Yeah, but he didn't because that wasn't his choice. So then us talking
it
about...
It is his choice.
No, that was his choice not to make it...
So if we're comparing those themes of Batman, which I think is still fair to do because that's something we always look at for Batman, right? I'm just asking, which do you think did it better?
Batman.
It's because that was the only theme.
Yeah, but there's going to be... the thing is, there's going to be other things that the Batman does better. So it's fine to say the Batman does better. I know you don't want to, but it's fine to say.
You know, it's not the same thing with the intro, right? The Batman was better, but it had to be better.
I didn't say that.
You didn't say that verbatim, but you said something else.
Yeah, I said that it was...
Yeah, but then you had a but to it.
I explained why it didn't work for The Dark Knight.
You said it couldn't work for The Dark Knight?
Correct.
Okay, go on.
So, out of those films, Jason, you feel free to answer then if you want to. Which do you think?
It is the Batman.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
Literally the hot...
Yeah, the Batman. Even, in terms of like the
even the marketing
like
plan was
vengeance.
All, was all vengeance.
Stuff like that. I kind of agree with that. I feel like it's a little bit of an unfair question. I do think that the Batman executed on the themes of like vengeance, morality, and whatnot.
Central to Batman's character, so I don't see how it's unfair.
We're talking about the third film.
But I do think
I promise
that,
you now, it's better than.
But like, I think Batman, Batman. Has more.
Yeah, the third film is better written than Dark Knight, though.
Say again.
The third film is better written than Dark Knight. It's a better written film.
As in Dark Knight Rises.
It's a better
written
film.
Better written film than Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Let him land.
It's a better real film.
No. I'm gonna let him land. I'm gonna think about it. I'm going to disagree.
And that's fine.
I mean, we can spend a minute. Or
yeah, we can. Yeah, it's just because, as I said, like, in terms of like the themes, am I disagreeing? Do you know what? I'm going to think about this more because you put a good question. No. It's actually a good question because like I do think that The Dark Knight Rises is.
He's like the moment he's like disagreeing.
I think Dark Knight is a better film than it's not close. Well, it's not that far, but I think Dark Knight is a better film than Dark Knight Rises.
Dark Knight Rises is a better written
film. Yeah, I think that aspect of it is a better written film. That's just one aspect of the film.
I think the last part of the film was written awfully.
Okay.
I think when they had the whole like police battle and stuff, and then from that moment all the way to the end, disgusting. Everyone's character worked like this. I was like, oh wow.
I think he poses a good question. Bro, I'm going to think about it. My first reaction is to disagree just because of maybe. It's so, definitely
if your only
bias as I've just rewatched
it. Saying that is that because you didn't like Bane's character arc. I think that's a bit flawed, bro.
Bane's character arc.
I can't
take.
Bane's character arc was wavy though.
No, they ended him awfully though. It was like this. I was like, oh my god, yeah. And then if he ride MK, like if he take Ra's al Ghul's daughter, that was a wavy twist.
We were speaking about this earlier.
Twist is cold. But she's bare holding his face, okay, and that, yeah. And he's bare soft and this, that. Bro, you just gave me an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm. So they're showing you a multifaceted character, right?
Wait, hold on. Of philosophical speeches. Killing people at will. People are dying for you like there's no tomorrow. You gave me the fact that you are the Messiah, right? And then for like a whole scene, you were this baby you.
So they humanized him essentially.
I don't mind him being humanized, okay? But I still as Bane.
You do?
No, but still as Bane. He was too soft. So you can't make me seem like you are the goat of the goats.
They showed you a multifaceted character and you didn't like it. That's fine.
And wait, what? Batman now does a few press-ups in a thingy in a
okay. Now you're just being unfair. Now you're just being unfair.
Banging him. Whereas the scene before, yeah, but you kicked his ass.
Yeah, but the issue wasn't a physical difference. It was a mental block for the development. That's what the problem was.
I know that. It's just obviously.
Oh, so those, you're just trolling then?
No, those are just things. No, those are just
things.
Let's not lose ourselves.
Let's not lose ourselves, man. I want to compare the portrayals of Bruce Wayne and Batman in the two films. We are aware that they're at different stages of their sort of Batman tenure.
Mm-hmm.
But Jason, how would you compare Robert Pattinson's Bruce Wayne to Christian Bale's and how they came across in their respective films?
So depressed you.
It took the words out of my mouth, man. Like, the portrayal of Robert Pattinson's Bruce Wayne is, I think maybe it's just because the film was so deep in its noir bag that they were like, oh, we have to make Bruce also kind of like a depressed, angsty kind of like, I don't want to say teenager because he's a young adult, but I do feel like he was a little bit too brooding, a little bit too
he was even rude to Alfred. Yeah,
and then because and this is definitely a preference of a preference of like how I have seen Bruce Wayne's growing up, like through the cartoons, through the games, mm-hmm. through the comics. Bruce Wayne has always been this chauvinistic playboy.
So you would have liked to have seen it for the fifth, sixth time.
100%, yeah. Some aspects you don't have to change, but I do think it might have been because it was necessary because of the style, the betrayal, the what's the word I'm looking for, theme of the film that they were putting out, mm-hmm. and the Batman. Whereas the Dark Knight, like even if you look at through its, I guess cinematography and stuff like that, it was a lot brighter than it was in comparison. So you can make your characters brighter in the sense as well,
but even beyond that, don't you think that was just more so because of the stages in life that they were in? If we had a chauvinistic or not happy-go-lucky but a more confident Batman in year two, does that not take away from that type of Batman and makes it a lot less realistic?
No, I wouldn't say take away, because like it's just a thing of like two different approaches, right?
Yep.
It's just that one approach I prefer more than the other. And
which one is that, by the way?
The
Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
I knew I was just sitting
there. The Christian Bale portrayal. It's because
why?
Because as I said, like I think he embodies the idea of like being the Bruce Wayne that we know.
But from, as like, a cover up for how you're really feeling, right? Essentially, whereas sense of Christian Bale's Bruce Wayne is a character that's using a chauvinistic personality, that confident womanizer personality,
yeah,
as a sort of front to cover up how he's really feeling about being Bruce Wayne,
yeah,
how he's
exactly.
really feeling about losing his mother and his father, how he's really feeling about having all this money but no one to really share it with,
yeah,
about having to protect this city that's consistently in sort of turmoil, whether it's Ra's al Ghul, whether it's Joker, whether it's
Talia al Ghul and Bane. As you're saying, I think even in Batman Begins, just to touch on that real quick, like I think he's been the very similar Bruce Wayne that we have seen in Dark Knight as well. Like
I disagree.
You think?
I think the best portrayal of Christian Bale as Batman was in Batman Begins. I think after that he becomes a lot more bland, and I feel like stuff happens around.
I guess but we are talking about him being as Batman. I'm talking about more about Bruce Wayne, him as being a Bruce Wayne.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that he, like the Bruce Wayne aspect has always been the same. In terms of like the Batman in itself, like
we'll get to Batman.
Yeah, we'll get to how their portrayals of Batman, but like them as just Bruce Wayne's, I think they come at it from very different angles. It's just that one aspect I prefer more. Bro, that's not to take away.
We keep on talking about how like Rob Pattinson was a rookie, different stages. Batman Begins was Bruce Wayne as a rookie.
That's what I'm saying. But that's my point.
Assured of himself.
He just got
trained by Ra's al Ghul. We can only assume from the comic books that Rob Pattinson got the same training. Right, because that's how he becomes Batman.
Yeah, it depends on how
he doesn't go to fucking Choi Kwan Do, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
and this thing, like,
not to talk about the comics too much, but like not in every iteration he has been trained by Ra's al Ghul. He kind of like learns to be Batman and then he gets trained in some of the iterations. You get what I mean?
In some he becomes the detective first.
Yeah, exactly. Then, so we can assume like for the Batman as well, where it's like he becomes the detective first and then meets Ra's al Ghul later on to become the Batman that we...
There have been iterations where Alfred's done his training for him as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So like...
I think that makes a lot more sense in this version of the Batman.
Especially because
he's spoken about art. He was in the circus. He also used to be in the... was it Forces he mentioned? That would make sense if... And especially with the way that he's been overprotective, Robert Pattinson. Mm. I struggle to believe that in this version of the Batman, he's met Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. I think we'll get Ra's al Ghul later on and then when he'll
that'd be dope.
Start picking up. I think that'll be a good one because...
And I think my only real critique of Rob Pat's Bruce Wayne is the lack of, I guess, the lack of diversity to his character.
Yeah.
It did feel very stagnant in terms of his Bruce, especially in terms of his relationship with Alfred. I think you saw more of, when he's with Selina, I kind of see it as him being more Bruce when he's with Selina.
Yeah.
He's not being Batman, he's being Bruce. And I think we get to see more of his sort of vulnerabilities as a character and more of his an understanding of who he is. Whereas when he's with Alfred, it's very cold and stoic. Mm. So the hospital scene just didn't...
Yeah. I get the cold and stoicness towards Alfred based on his character. Mm. But I didn't like how it was portrayed during the hospital scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that scene could have been done so much. And I think that's more on Robert Pattinson's side than...
I don't think it's the writing.
Yeah, I think that's more on Robert's side. I just lacked emotional depth in that situation.
The guy has fucking raised you.
Yeah.
And he's just... The house has been burned up because of you.
Because of you, bro.
Yeah, exactly.
And I get he was angry because he just recently found out
about his father.
About his dad. But...
I mean, he's a shit... Alfred would have known about that stuff, right?
Yeah, yeah, he did.
No, so no, no, he was mad at Alfred.
As soon as he woke up, it's like, you lied about...
But it would have been nice to see the duality of, oh, fuck, the house is the part of that mansion's just been...
Yeah, 100%.
I really love you, you've looked after me. Yeah. Oh, shit, but you didn't tell me about this situation that went up with my father. Really nice for that.
It was almost like when his girl got taken from him in Twilight, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was just... It's just mad.
We're going to get one of those from you.
He's trying so hard. He's trying so, like, Robert Pattinson's trying so hard to forget
him, bro.
The Twilight era. That's what he's been doing, the films he's been doing.
Bro, a dog took his girl.
And as for Batman, I can't lie, Robert Pattinson clears it as a Batman.
Yeah.
I can't lie,
Robert Pattinson clears
it as a Batman.
Clear,
who do you are?
Clear might be a
little hard.
I said, how can you say, okay, Robert Pattinson clears it as a Batman? Who the fuck do you think you are? Who the fuck do you think you all are?
Do you know what's mad? Because I watched...
argue your point.
Ben Affleck is the best Batman.
We're not talking about Ben Affleck.
Okay, now clears it is nuts. I don't think that Christian Bale Batman was fantastic, right? I think he was very.
What was he for you as a Batman?
As in rating or just like in general?
Yeah, just speak on it. How do you feel about him as a Batman?
I think his character grew, but again, I think he had the advantage of three films. If you take the films individually,
We were just talking about the second film.
Pop up my thing. But if you take the films individually, then I don't think they're super strong performances as Batman, right?
Why is that?
I think he is a better Batman than he is a Bruce Wayne, for sure.
Okay. No, I'm the other way.
I think he's a better Bruce Wayne.
He's a better Bruce Wayne. What are you doing?
He's better Bruce Wayne than he is a Batman.
What's that?
I was talking about Rob Pattinson. My bad.
I haven't asked you directly.
I know. You know what it is?
I'm
thinking about Tony Stark.
You're talking about all three films.
And
then you've got
about Tony Stark.
It's
because I'm trying to compare him to Tony Stark. I was about to say, okay, he's a better Bruce Wayne than Batman because he gives me a Tony Stark vibe. Right, where the first Iron Man, okay, where he almost flicks between being Tony Stark and Iron Man so seamlessly, okay, and he's still trying to figure out what he really is, okay, but we don't get to see enough of Bruce Wayne for him to elevate his performance too tough. There's even a scene here in The Dark Knight. Yes, there's a scene in The Dark Knight where he's sitting in the penthouse. Mm. Rachel has just died, okay? And he's sitting there with his Batman costume on and his helmet off.
Mm-hmm. Sick. Quality scene.
Quality scene.
Yeah, very good.
Alfred comes
in. The duality of Batman and Bruce. Sick.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, 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 very good.
Just give me some more of those scenes, man. That was so cold. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We didn't get enough of that. And just, and it, so, but I don't
get enough
think...
of what? Like in the Dark Knight? Or do you mean
In the Dark Knight. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I don't think like we got enough of that. And a lot of the dialogue that he done with Harvey, a lot of the dialogue that he done with Gordon and blah, 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 was obviously as Batman, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas like, I think a lot of those scenes could have been done as Bruce Wayne. During the day or whatever. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
What I mean,
they,
love though,
they
okay.
kind of like touch on it a little bit, like the scene in the restaurant where Harvey
exactly.
was really
that was the
going
scene, though.
But,
that was the scene though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was like, the scene, his though. Best scenes were.
And then the scene where good. He used well, his like Lamborghini to crash into the guy that was girls.
His best scenes were Bruce, bro.
Yeah, yeah his best yeah. scenes were yeah. as Bruce. No, it was, like, it was, yeah.
I think in comparison, Robert Pattinson is a much better Batman.
Yeah.
Personally, I think he's such a good Batman. I think there's so many scenes to link back. I love. And again, it helps where the Batman leans into the crime detective noir sort of thriller feel. Mm.
Yeah.
Not thriller, but the feel of being a crime noir.
Like dark drama aspects.
Dark drama, and he's able to sort of lean into those aspects, both thematically.
I don't think he clears.
Both aesthetically. He has some great scenes with Jim Gordon.
Yeah.
And I love the, and I'm gonna, we're gonna get to that in terms of the relationship with the support.
I need to do that soon, yeah. I have a whole thing about that.
So I love the relationship with Jim Gordon and Jeffrey Wright, Jim Gordon specifically. Mm. I love the relationship with some of the villains, even though we don't get to see him with the Riddler. Mm-hmm. For most of the film until the end.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're speaking to each other throughout the whole film.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Oh, the Penguin is, the Riddler is literally talking to
literally,
him. Yeah. Messaging throughout the film.
It's wonderful. Wonderful.
I love the opening narration, as I said, sets the tone for who this Batman is at the time and for the theme of the Batman as a film. The chase scene with the Penguin.
Yeah.
Yes.
In the car. And then the walk into the walk into the to Penguin upside down, and we get to see the perspective of Penguin and the behind the scenes shots of the boots walking.
Yeah,
it's the one thing that I think the promotional material messed up on. Man, I wish that scene wasn't in the trailers or anything like that. I think it would have hit so much harder if we didn't see that before.
I can't lie.
Still hit the same, bro.
It did. Nah,
it hit for me. Each time I watch it, I was like, yeah.
And you know
this
that
is cinema.
Oh man,
you know that scene when he's in the gone.
No. I was gonna say. Do we think that the Batman, in general, as in the Batman, the Dark Knight, whatever, do you think that they have the best car chase scenes ever in film? Bro,
in
deep
film.
In film,
the Dark Knight has.
The Dark Knight's got...
The one with Harvey in the
SWAT car.
Yeah.
Joker's chasing them, Batman's chasing them, everyone's going mad. It's crazy.
That
was bad. And then you've got the one in Dark Knight Rises, okay, where they're getting the atom bomb, Jim Gordon is in the van, Celia Kyle is driving the Bat bike, and she's doing bear moves.
Oh, you're going towards the Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, you're going to the Dark Knight Rises.
But I was saying in film, okay, cool, in cool. general, right. Do you think that
it's hard not to, veer to those films as well.
Yeah. Bro, those scenes are obviously the Flash scene and obviously Batman v Superman.
Oh, you just mean Batman as a whole?
Yeah, Batman as a whole. I think that Batman as a whole has the best chase scenes.
Because he has to lean into the sort of the grounded aspects of using...
Into the gadgets and everything. Yeah. Bro, it's just amazing, man.
So sick. But you know the scene where he's in the precinct? And the police officers are chasing him. He uses the
and it goes all the way up,
and then they're chasing him, and he has to do the fly down.
Yeah,
and it kind of, again, as we said before, it speaks to him at the time where he's a rookie Batman.
Yeah,
and he's still learning the concepts of being a Batman using the cape.
Because he drops right, and he's like, oh
gets the car, has to get back up. Then he looks at the Selina car after, which is really good.
Pause.
Just quickly, we'll quit. we'll fly through these now. The film's use of their support characters.
My Jim Gordon,
Gary Oldman,
was the best, maybe the best supporting character in superhero history.
Okay, would you count the Joker's supporting actor?
No, he's a co-lead for sure.
I mean, no, but okay.
Co-lead for sure. That's your business.
I mean, I feel like you're trying to split hairs at this point.
You're
trying to split hairs now, but I do think, like,
he didn't have as many scenes as Batman.
On paper,
he had like three scenes in the first 40 minutes. You know,
who?
The Joker.
He had what?
Yeah, like three scenes in the first 40 minutes.
Oh, he spoke throughout the film in our minds.
Okay,
that's just good.
Support characters. Talk to me, Jim Gordon.
Jim Gordon is I think, just, oh my god, bro.
Yeah, but Gary Oldman's in particular.
Yeah. His version is better.
His blind loyalty to Batman is so comic book, but then his portrayal of it in the films is so real. You almost believe that he's just backing this guy just because the guy has a good heart. You know what I'm saying? Okay, but what he's doing is crazy. He's blowing up streets and whatever.
It's not because he's got good heart. It's because he was showing results. Like he was like getting.
Yeah, I think it goes back to the idea of like.
But everybody's against Gordon, right?
Yeah.
And what I'm saying is that what he's doing is that he's not just being like, oh, yeah, I'm backing him for no reason, da, 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 right? He's sticking to his guns, and then he's explaining it, and then he's backing it, and then he's proving it, and then he's doing things. He even explains to Harvey, it's like, sometimes we have to break from the shackles of justice, right? To be able to kind of like do our jobs, right? Yeah. And then that's obviously the relationship between him and Batman. You know that for not once through Batman Begins all the way to the last action scene, in Dark Knight Rises, does he ask who Batman is. Not once. You know what I mean? It's so sick because it just shows you how on it he is.
But didn't he know by the time the end of Dark Knight, he already knew?
Nope. Dark Knight Rises, the last scene... he says to Batman, he was like, yo, I've never cared who you are, but the people must know who saved their city. And then
that's the Dark Knight, bro.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what I said initially, and someone here said I was wrong. At the end of Dark Knight, I said Dark Knight Rises. At the end of the Dark Knight.
No,
at the end of the Dark Knight, he doesn't.
Guys, I'm telling you what happened. Dark Knight Rises. He is flying up with the nuclear bomb. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Jim Gordon says that to him. Evan, he says back to Jim Gordon, a hero can be anyone, even somebody being comforting in a police precinct. Blah, blah, blah. As he flies off, okay, Jim Gordon goes.
That's when he's clocking. Like
he goes, Bruce Wayne. Done. Scene. Crazy, bruv. Let me tell you now, yeah, okay? Jim Gordon, my one, Gary Oldman, cold. His shouting scenes here are the best ever. Go over there, 5th century. His shouting scenes are so sick, bro. They're so sick. He's so on it. He's so.
I mean, we're talking about shouting scene. Jeffrey Wright had a pretty good one as well.
What?
With the penguin?
Yeah.
Open your eyes.
I can't lie. That scene with penguin
is
hard.
And the penguin is like, true great instructor.
Yeah.
That was a good scene, man.
El Rato. By the way, both cold Gordon.
Yeah, both cold. I think Gordon.
Jim Gordon's Jeffrey Wright's Jim Gordon plays into the Batman's theme of the whole detective, the whole figuring out, the whole small piecing of a story.
He's proper, like he's like in the crime scene.
They're a duo,
like side by side. Yeah.
They're much more of a duo. I would say.
Yeah, and to be fair, I said this previously when we're obviously.
Is the Batman a buddy cop film?
Came out. Yeah.
Yeah. To an extent. Yeah.
But I said okay, like it's more exciting to see their relationship build than it was for the Dark Knight. Okay, because in the next few, let's say we get a 2-3. Cool, like seeing that
evolvement.
Because Dark Knight feels like their relationship is already established.
Exactly.
There's not much
like
a breaker.
Like this.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Because
and it's established before they even realize it.
Because
it's
of what Bruce knew,
But in this list, the Batman, even Batman was still a bit wary. Oh, at the beginning, in terms of Gordon as a cop sometimes.
And there's a scene
towards the end when they find Riddler's home when it says, oh, you're a good cop. And I think at that point it's like, yeah, they solidified their relationship that they have. Yeah.
Yeah, but even like Fox and Alfred and, you know, and...
Michael Caine's Alfred clears.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, 100%.
Oh,
the one thing I'll say is that I do think Michael Caine's Alfred is much better. I don't think that Michael Caine... that Alfred would have worked in the Batman.
Impossible.
Yeah, it wouldn't have worked.
Impossible. No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But absolutely right.
I think Michael Caine, so we don't get stuck on this too long, Michael Caine is definitely better. Alfred's, Jim Gordon's one is better. I think, like, in general, the Dark Knight has a better cast in terms of, like, actors and actresses and performance in general. Because you got Michael Caine, you got Heath Ledger, Aldwyn, you got
Morgan Freeman,
Jin, the girl who plays Sid Car.
I get it.
But yeah, with the Batman, you do have a great cast. You got Paul Dano. I changed my mind. The Batman is better, way better.
Oh,
do you know why?
Way better.
Do you know why? Zoe Kravitz.
Is it hard to argue? Is it hard to argue?
It's calm.
I don't want to argue. Hey,
man. The way he set himself up thinking, oh yeah, and then he realised.
Yeah, he just had to switch back.
It's calm because in the fucking edit, it's got cut right.
That's yeah. funny.
One thing up. Right, go on.
But on a serious note.
Rachel's whack.
Yeah. I think
she's not Penn.
I think
Stephen
like
Stephen A. Smith said it.
Yeah.
I think as far as like actors and pedigree girls, Dark Knight is better. But I think the way that it was casted in the Batman was better in general, because you got like people like Falcone, which is there's a Falcone in Dark Knight, right?
He's Maroni in Dark Knight.
I think the Falcone in the Batman is way better.
He's so much more scary. Yeah. So much more. Yeah.
We don't have
so a sinister man, but not evident sinister. It's just very confident sinister, right?
Yeah.
I really enjoy that.
It's giving Ultron.
And the way they link the relationship between him and Zoe Kravitz was really good as well.
Yeah. Then you got Colin like.
Farrell. We'll get to him quick. One. I just want to speak on the opening scene of the Batman again, where Batman's walking in with Jeffrey Wright's Jim Gordon, and the Fez are all like sort of surrounding, and he's walking in. What an amazing!
When we get to the cinematography part, Brody.
Okay, we'll move on quickly then.
Yeah,
I've just quick one on Pink on the Riddler. Unbelievable! Yeah. Unbelievable from Colin Farrell. Yeah, caught me off guard.
Penguin.
The Penguin. Sorry, caught me off guard with his performance.
The film definitely needed like two, three villains to help it. You know what I'm saying?
Why are we here trying to discredit films?
He's the one doing it, though.
Why are we point scoring?
I'm just saying, yeah, you're doing pleasure carried. Man had it on his shoulders. So much so that...
Almost to a fault.
Yeah. And I think that's one of my biggest critique, apart from the editing of Dark Knight.
Interesting.
Do you know, we'll get to that. What? We will get to that.
The editing in Dark Knight is very questionable.
Jason,
I wouldn't say very questionable.
Very, very questionable. I can't lie, very questionable. I was watching, like, bro, like, why are you jumping to scenes like this? It's very, very questionable.
No, okay. Wait, you don't think
that the harsh cuts was part of it?
Just because it was part of it doesn't mean it makes it good.
No, but it was cool. But I think that it aided... Like, okay, cool. The scene where they cut from the video, like a super harsh cut from when they catch Heath Ledger.
Joker.
As soon as they catch him, okay. I've seen people like criticize how quick it goes on to the police station, and then he's in the red and stun already. And then Jim Gordon's like shouting, "Get a lot of time."
But the thing is, if it happens for like specific narrative points, I get it. It happens throughout the whole film. Like the happens throughout the whole film. That's very questionable editing. That's not a great artistic choice. That's like literally going on film or editing.
I just think you might be a little bit too harsh on it. That's all I'm saying.
I can happily admit that the Batman, okay, was taken. There was more care taken in the cinematography, in the beauty of it. Okay,
we'll get
there. Not even talking about the cinematography.
Purely from the editing aspect.
Yeah, because
let's get to that later. That's the next segment coming up.
Okay, cool.
I want to compare the villains quickly.
Okay.
Okay.
The two main villains.
Yeah.
Riddler versus the Joker. Manny, yes. The floor is yours.
This is your battle.
Wait. Is there even?
You two have done this before, so
don't.
I'll make an argument. I think Heath Ledger is obviously a better villain and a better performer. I think that's one of the best performances.
As a performer, I'm
one of the best performances I've seen from a comic book film. But as far as narrative goes, like even as an antagonist, even when I watched the film yesterday, it's like made me realise that it takes 40 minutes into the film for any of Joker's action to make the Batman do anything.
To have consequences.
Yeah. No, how was that?
Let him land.
As an antagonist for a film, and you're meant to be the main. And what I even realized about the film, something that I didn't realize before, but because I didn't take in films the way I did, is that I was looking at it differently, because what I'm mainly meant to be focusing on is not just the Joker and Batman. It was mainly Batman and Harvey Dent. And they should have, but that's beyond the point.
It's a valid point.
For me, it was always Joker and Batman. But when I rewatched the film, it's like, no, most of it, the conflict is Harvey Dent and the Batman, not Joker and the Batman. But yeah, it takes...
Even with Harvey Dent pretending to be Batman
in
the second act of the film.
Yeah. So my issue, like, even with the first scene, great scene with the Joker and the bank stuff, but narratively, it doesn't really add much to the film, apart from showcasing that Joker is a villain. And it's a great scene to have, but it doesn't really add much in comparison to what Riddler does in the beginning.
We'll talk is narratively, right?
Yeah, it doesn't really, in comparison to what Riddler does by killing the mayor, because it actively had, makes Batman come into the mayor's house. He's actively being an antagonist from the very start of the film.
Yeah.
We have like three scenes from the Joker for the first 40 minutes or four. The first scene is the bank scene. The second scene is when he's talking to the mob.
In the butchers, yeah.
And the third scene is when he sees the black mob guy and kills
Gambit.
Him. And kills him. Yeah. And throughout all those scenes that, and even after that point is they mentioned the Joker to Batman. Batman's like, I care more about the mob than this one guy. So for you to be the main antagonist, which it's even hard to say because it's more Harvey Dent that the one that causes the most conflict for the film. And the first 40 minutes, none of your action are actually antagonizing the protagonist. And then the final half of the act, you're gone from the film. It's back to Harvey Dent. It's hard for me to sit there and think, yeah, he's a better written antagonist than the Riddler, because he isn't. From the very first moment of we get introduction to the Riddler, his actions directly have an effect on what the Batman does throughout the film, and has direct effect throughout the whole of Gotham, consistently throughout the whole film. The Joker does not do that throughout the whole film, especially the first 40 minutes. His actions do not have a direct consequence to the Batman.
That
is the biggest difference, and that's why the Riddler is a better written antagonist than the Joker.
Fuck.
But yes, Heath Ledger's performance as the Joker is magnificent. No one can ever take that away as a performance.
Cool.
But as a narrative, no, it's easily the Riddler.
Yeah. Cool. To be fair, that's the hill that you've been always saying as well.
Yeah,
I just...
Thingy, Daniel's come.
I'm not mad.
All right, cool. Listen, so... Good setting, though. Okay, that's why I said
he was podding.
He was capping.
Okay. Look. You're saying, okay, that he didn't affect also in what the Batman was doing, okay, or make him, you know, think, go into action. Everything that he done from the get, okay, the bank scene, okay, he takes 68 million of the mob's money. The fact that he's affecting Batman without Batman even knowing it is why he's so powerful, okay? He takes the money, okay, then blackmails the
mob.
Yeah, and then makes Lao literally run to China.
To China.
Right? Guess who goes to China?
Bruce. Batman, sorry.
Okay, he goes to China. When he's going to China, he doesn't even know the reason
why. Why did Lao go to China?
Wait, huh?
Why did Lao go to China?
Because he was getting, extra...
extradited.
Yeah. By who?
By Harvey.
So how did Joker make Lao go to China?
Because he took the money. Lao didn't have the safety of what's name, his...
Lao took the money.
Yeah, but... Wait, what? What are we talking about?
Lao took the money.
No, you're confused, bro.
How am I confused?
Lao hid the money.
Yeah, he hid the money.
That's
way after into the film.
As in with the pile that he finished.
Yeah.
Burned up.
Yeah. But the first money that he took here from the bank.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That was the mob's money. That was the mob's fees, life savings.
Go on.
That was a quote.
Yeah.
That was a quote.
It's right? Just the way you said it.
That was the mob's life savings. Okay. Right? And then Lao had the mob's free profits, right? And that's why he had that leverage right at the start, right? And what I'm saying is that there's so many things that he was doing, okay, right at the start, yeah, to kind of, he was playing this ridiculous long game, and he even admits yeah, in the last part of the film that he thought that his goal was the destruction and the corruption of Gotham, to show Gotham's people that not everybody is a saint, that your faith is in the wrong people. And then he switches it and says, but what I realized is I can't kill you, Batman, because I just love you too much. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, so for a lot of it, his beef or his goal isn't actually Batman. Okay.
It's but just, that's Manny's point, though.
No, but my point is, okay, it is that, and we chat about this last year. Mm. Batman is not just a story of him. It's a story of Gotham. Right, it's his obsession with Gotham. It's Gordon's obsession with Gotham. Okay, because bro, at the end of the day, if the city's that bad, yeah, just leave. Right? Okay, do you know what I'm saying? Okay, just move country, bruv.
Yeah, but it's definitely more of a thing.
I guess it's more okay. I think you guys are coming from a different angles, where it's like what I think What I'm getting is Joker is more of a villain to Gotham rather than he is to Batman.
Correct, but he's affecting Gotham, which then affects
Batman. Directly, yeah.
Indirectly, right? And then later on, it becomes a lot more direct. You're absolutely right.
I think it comes down to a preference in how you
Of course. But he's like my whole point is, okay, is that you have this guy that you almost think he doesn't know what he's doing, and then at every twist and turn, it's just one. Even the scene where he kills the police commissioner, the black guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And then even that. Oh my god, he killed the drink. Yeah. He killed the commissioner and the judge.
Yeah, that's when he's active. That's after 40 minutes.
Yeah, but even like that scene, okay, is so smart, yeah, because he's like in the crowd, but then he's put a bunch of man. Wait, is Paul Dano in that scene?
No.
Yo, my brain went off for a second. I was like, oh, what the fuck? But like, I just think, okay, is that like you almost don't know what he's doing, yeah, okay, in the background until. Probably at that point where he was like threatening people and he put them on TV. I was like, every day that the Batman doesn't reveal himself, you know, I'm gonna feel some kill someone. But for the whole third act of the film, Batman, every day that he spent not showing his face, somebody died, right? So then he had the conflict with the people, with Harvey, with Gordon, back and forth. What do we do? Every choice they made as supporting characters was because of the Joker. It wasn't because of anything else, right? But that was built because of the first part of the film, because he's affecting everyone. He's affecting the villains, the mobsters, the good people, the insane people in Arkham, right? He's affecting every part of Gotham. And I don't think we've ever seen that in any villain, in any Batman. Like, he's affecting every single part of thing. And also the Batman.
I mean, Paul Dano flooded Gotham.
But I think that's
at the end, right? Yeah. But for 90% of the film, it's directly Batman, or directly the
police. The
mayor. No, because the pressure that Riddler is putting on the mayor puts pressure on all the mob guys because they didn't want to get.
Of course.
So all the actions that the mobs were doing, and even the.
I'm not saying that it was.
I know, but you saying that we haven't seen any films. We literally see it in the Batman.
Like, I don't think we do.
We do, because they make action because of what Villa does at the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
No. I'm not saying that we don't see that they making action. I said, okay, but I don't think that the people of Gotham are affected by the Riddler until the end of the film, right? Hmm. So what I'm saying, okay, is that Heath Ledger, from the start to the end, is affecting every part of Gotham.
And I think where the difference lies in you're talking about the impact on Gotham, and we'll move on quickly because there's still quite a tiny bit to get through. I think the difference is the Gotham that we see in the Batman is already embroiled in corruption.
Yeah, it's dark.
Poor versus rich, the disparity between the rich and the poor, the crime that's going on. The film sets the tone for that in the first 10 minutes or so anyway. So there's much more going on in that Batman's Gotham in comparison to the Dark Knight, where the Dark Knight, in a sense, and it's going to sound nuts, feels a lot more like...
More condensed,
whereas with the Batman, there's a lot more going on besides just the relationship.
Well, I mean, like, even they established it in the Dark Knight, like, Harvey Dent, at this point, has already put half the mob guys in pen.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why it feels a little bit more condensed.
Good point.
I saw someone say that if you compare the films and you switch the subconscious other characters, he said, like, in The Dark Knight, the mobsters don't play a massive part in this film, right? But in The Batman, the mobsters play a massive part in this film, right? But the mayors and stuff, okay, don't play a huge part until kind of at the end. Whereas in The Dark Knight, they play a massive part. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's that kind of switch of roles, you know. But they're both very effective, you know. But,
yeah. Cinematography.
Yeah, The Batman. It's not even close.
The Batman.
Why so many?
I think first of all, shout out Greg Fraser.
Dune Part Two.
Dune. Yeah. One. Done Star Wars.
He's on crack.
Done The Creator. Oh. Bro, like
with the FX3 as well.
There's so many scenes that stand out through for the Batman for me. There's a scene like towards the end when the whole place is flooded, and you see him with a red glow stick leading the people out.
Oh man!
There's even a scene that
I love that.
The scene when he's walking out with the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a scene that I only clocked and saw a minor that I really liked is that when he's in the mayor's house, like literally second scene, it's like the camera shot of his feet just walking, and the way that the camera lens is like it bends in into the room. It was cold. The scenes of him, like you mentioned earlier, him and Gordon walking into the mayor's house, like
car chase,
the car chase,
and then the walk towards the penguin.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're being backwards, then leaning
use
down.
Of light in this, the comparison of the use of light and darkness, and it's, then the use of color palettes as well. Oh, unbelievable.
It's brilliant. It's one of my favorite short films that I've watched.
Yeah, yeah,
it's one of my favorite short films I've watched.
Even the scene where he's walking out of the darkness and there's people shooting at him.
Oh, yeah.
Want to see the fight with the lights?
But is that the elevator? Come on.
Yeah, cinematography. Like, yeah.
Should we just move on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Let's talk about some. We'll quickly round up iconic sort of comments, quotes, and moments from both films.
Yeah.
What's the hero one? Chase.
Oh,
you either die a hero,
live long enough to
become a villain. That's a cool line.
You either die a hero.
Yeah, I think Dark Knight Rises. Twice, by the way, as well. It fed the Tumblr kids for years, especially the Joker quotes.
Bro, till this day, bro, all of my Insta captions for Time, which is Dark Knight, bro, crazy, fam, crazy.
Nah,
crazy quotes.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, Dark Knight got some wavy ones. I think with the Batman, it's more like just one-liners. When it's like, they're afraid of the shadow, but I am the shadow.
Oh,
yeah. And then it's got,
that's at the beginning, right?
That's right. The beginning.
That's a shit quote, Carla.
Okay.
Oh, God. He stole
it from Bane, bro. Bane said,
"You've got to stop this."
Bane said,
"You're such a point scorer."
Bane said,
"He don't like
you." Merely adopted like, the but darkness.
The darkness. Yeah,
you merely adopted for darkness. I was born in it.
I mean, that's not the same thing.
Same thing.
Okay, maybe your English is different. and even when they have, when they got the Batman signal up, and saying, "Oh, they think that it's a call for me." It's not. It's use fear as a tool. Yeah. The opening. Well, it's not necessarily the opening scene, but the opening scene of when we get the actual Batman coming in after Riddler. It's so cold because we get the dialogue from the monologue from Robert Pattinson in the background that just adds such a gloomy feel to the film that sets the tone a bit further.
Definitely. Let's get some from the Dark Knight because there's some unbelievable ones, bro.
Yeah, I'm gonna get some right now.
Dark Knight, as you, we already spoke to Heroes and Villains one.
Yeah, one of my favorite quotes from a film, to be fair.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't want to kill you. What would I do without you?
Yeah.
Seen in the
Yeah.
Oh man, don't.
No, Heath Ledger, bro.
You complete me.
Yeah, very good. You want to know how I got these scars?
That, yeah. Come on, man.
I wonder what the what story he was going to tell Batman because he stops a minute. Because obviously he each one is a different story.
I saw an interview with Christopher Nolan, and he was like, they've done a scene where he tells the story. Where he tells the story, and then the interviewer asked him, was that the real story of a Batman? And then he goes, I'm not going to confirm, but it was a comic book led story, yes.
Him telling Batman the real story makes a lot more sense.
I saw the comments people like, people like, he was going to tell Alfred's story. You know, when Alfred says about Phoebe being
in
that town, that would have been cold.
Yeah.
But it would have thrown off the, like, everything. Because
some men just want to see the world.
But one of my favorites as well.
Yeah, also another quotable. Yeah, in terms of quotables.
In their last moments, people show you who they really are.
Yeah. Man said, do I really look like a guy with a plan? Do you know what I am? A dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I caught it.
Do you know one of the best scenes from that film is this one here, Jason? The black guy on the boat.
The black guy where he throws it out.
Yeah, where he throws
it. The detonator.
Because you expect.
Again,
it just kind of speaks to the entire theme of, like, you know, the human hope and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, can bad people still be good? Or, like, throughout the film, like,
can you turn a good person bad? Yeah.
Exactly. And Joker talks about, like, how, like, we've just said one of his quotes, like, you know, when a person's about to die, you see really who they are. And, like, all those people, like, on both these boats, where it's like they, in their minds, thinking they're about to die, yet still would not pull the trigger. And then, again, which, like, as a film, kind of like when I look at it, it embodies kind of like Batman's idea of like, you know,
what the hell's this good cop, bad cop shit.
Oh,
Harvey Dent, The night is darkest just before the dawn, and I promise you, the dawn is coming.
Check. Check.
Oh my day.
The two great little doctors. Not that, man. Hey, Grace. Hey, Grace. I got him. I got you. When he comes through the fire, goodness gracious.
Yo, the crazy scene, okay, right in the cave where he's holding Gordon's son, right? And then Batman,
this guy's just giving us the Dark Knight quotes. Go on.
Yeah, that's it. And then Batman's there, okay? And then Harvey shouts, then why was it me who was the only one who lost everything? And what people don't
know. You were the best of us.
What people don't clock is that Batman says,
it wasn't breath, just you, though.
He literally goes, it wasn't. Because he can't tell him, I lost Rachel too. Yeah. Man. You know what I mean, okay? And then it'll say, Harvey goes, but Joker chose me. I think obviously Batman goes,
yeah, it's because you're the best
of
us.
Because you're the best of us. He wants to be someone as good as you could fool. And then he goes, and he was right.
Yeah. The most bad is that there's a scene that he hesitates before he talks, because obviously the Batman wasn't going for Harvey Dent. He was going for Rachel.
Yeah.
But obviously the Joker lied about who was where.
Mm. Quick one then. Music, sound and design.
Oh, the Batman.
Batman.
I think the Batman.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Music, I'm going to go with The Dark Knight.
Why? Yeah, that's crazy.
Why? I want to know.
I don't even think it's close. There's a scene. Oh, bro. Even have it. Bro. There's a scene with where the Batman is looking at Catwoman in a house, innit? And obviously you have music in the background. And when she jumps out of the window, you hear the Catwoman sound, like, that was so cold. The sound design clears. Yeah. Like, it clears. It's not even close.
It's very
close. And also, kind of just
towards the end.
Bro, the whole film was just an album.
Wow,
you know what I'm saying?
Hater, bro.
It was just an album.
Great music, great cinematography, great narratives, great story.
Dark Knight, but at the end
story,
of the day,
better narrative, better characters.
Ledger clears.
In terms of just overall, that's your stick.
What did he say?
He said he felt sorry about Heath Ledger clears.
He does.
As an overall summary, we'll go around and rate both films out of 10, and we'll maybe speak to why we love the individual films, right? I'll start with you, Manny.
Yeah.
If you had to rate The Batman out of 10.
9.5.
And why does this film stand out to you as one of the best?
I think one of the biggest things is cinematography throughout the film.
Unbelievable.
It's one of the best shots films that I've watched.
It felt like Gotham, bro.
Yeah, like the city of Gotham was his own character in the film. And that's
why Christopher Nolan's was just Chicago, essentially.
Yeah, exactly.
We can do the point scoring too. I can come down to your level. Paul.
Yeah, the Batman was real cinema to me. I think I went to watch it like 3 times in the space of 2 weeks, and it didn't feel like 3 hours at all in any of those runs. I feel like the way that the Riddler was written into the film and the parallels that he shared with the Batman
with Bruce as well.
Yeah,
right?
with not even the Batman, with Bruce specifically, was both amazing. That was the difference, is that if you swap them two around, like, what would the outcome be? And it's actually showcased that anybody could have become a vigilante in the city of Gotham if you're played by corruption. And I really appreciated the themes that the film tried to showcase. Cinematography, like I said, the sound design was absolutely amazing. And again, like, the sound design is not something that I would have mentioned 2 years ago, but now as I care more about film and I spend a lot more time watching film, these are some little things that you pick up, and I really, really appreciate it.
We wouldn't have been able to pull out this 2 years ago.
No, I don't think we would have. Yeah. Experience, isn't it? But yeah, the sound design is absolutely incredible. Robert Pattinson is probably my second favourite Batman that I've watched. I think Michael Keaton is still my favourite. Michael Keaton is still my favourite Batman.
I just don't remember Michael Keaton.
Watch it now, Evan. Yeah, because I didn't think that was going to be the case until I watched it.
I remembered after watching him in The Flash, which I know not everyone's watched, I was like, right, he was actually a fucking really good Batman. Even if you don't care about The Flash, just check like the YouTube clips of him as the Batman in The Flash. Fucking really
good. Yeah, watch it. Really but yeah, love it. Dark Knight, love it too. I'll probably give it a 9. I really, really like The Dark Knight. It's one of my favorite films. It's probably my third favorite comic book film.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Batman Infinity War are shared top one. Then you got The Dark Knight not far behind. And yeah, and obviously it came at a time where comic book films didn't look like that. And I really did appreciate it. And again, Heath Ledger, again, not even just one of my favorite comic book, one of my favorite acting performance in any film. And every time I watch it, I appreciate it so much more.
And I
would never get bored of his performance in The Dark Knight.
That film's got timeless rewatchability.
Yeah, 100%. Heath Ledger's actor, rest in peace. What a performance you gave. And yeah, but yeah.
What's 1 minute?
The Batman. The Dark Knight. Giving it, you said 9.5, I'm giving it 9.7. For sure.
I don't know why that's so funny. It just sounded petty.
It just sounded like just to spite him.
It was definitely a 9.7. I think in contrast to what you said, it's not in my top 2 super films ever. I think
top 10?
I think it's one of the greatest films of time. Even on IMDb, it's like 8th. You know what I mean?
Who cares about the crowd? We want to hear about you.
I'm telling you, okay?
Okay.
I think it is one of the greatest films of all time.
Fair enough.
Completely. I think that it attracts a wider audience, not just like a comic nerds or film nerds. It attracts anybody.
Yeah.
You can go, if you watch that film, don't watch the first or third one. It's freaking amazing.
Facts.
Okay? And I think that that's rare in comic films recently.
Perfect.
Cool. Yeah.
The Batman, I'm going to give it an 8.4. Solid film.
I'm not mad at that.
8.4?
I'm not mad at that at all.
So 8.4. I think it's a solid film.
You like the film more than you let on. It's just because of the fact.
I like the film. I just said that I will probably like the second one better. Because I think that there was so much missing.
I do also think the second one's going to be better.
Right?
I agree.
I think the second one's going to be better. It's going to be the greatest by far.
I'm not
even joking.
I just think it's going to be better.
I don't think there's a film that I'm this excited to see in a very long time.
Take their time with it.
Yeah, exactly. They pushed it back to 2026. I'm fine. Give it 2027. I'm fine. It's going to be elite.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 8.4, solid film. Rob Pattinson needs to improve, but I think that's just the way that his character was written, so that's fine with me, okay? Mm. And then the supporting cast was great. Alfred was trash, and then the rest of it was calm. The cinematography and the album by fucking who was Maroon 5 was calm too.
You have one song, and it's not Maroon 5.
I'm
thinking about Kendrick, so.
I'm going to have the same rating as Manny, but I'm just going to flip it. So Dark Knight Rises, 9.5, and the Batman, a 9. Literally,
good rating.
For majority rating, majority of what Manny said, I feel exactly the same. I just think personally, the performance that Heath Ledger gave was exactly like, especially when I rewatched it. I like there were things I picked up on that I was just like I didn't care about it, and just because like you know how we've grown, how we things we've appreciated in films and so much more.
It's also the staple foundation of the Joker now.
Heath Ledger's the gold standard in the sense of like Heath Ledger, and you've had different Jokers.
But I feel like Heath Ledger took a lot from Jack Nicholson's version of the Joker as well.
I think I would have to rewatch it. No, I would have to rewatch it. I'm trying to hear him out.
Be your own man.
I would have to rewatch it, but the idea has been floating out around for ages, obviously, like that he took a lot from Jack Nicholson and stuff like that. But I just think that he just gave it so much more.
Yeah, definitely.
The quotables, and it might just be because of his death that just kind of like elevated it and highlighted it so much more. But yeah, it's the gold standard for me. And then like cinematography and everything, like Batman does clear, but I think from what I want a Batman to be, The Dark Knight is that for me.
I'm gonna give The Dark Knight a 9.5.
All good, Karen.
I'm gonna give The Dark Knight a 9.5 and The Batman a 9.2. I prefer The Batman as a Batman film. I think it's a better Batman film, standard. I don't think anyone can dispute me. If you want to, fuck you. honestly,
he's the host.
Robert Pattinson's a better Batman. I think he's got a better written Batman story. I think The Dark Knight has a better Christian Bale sort of depiction. I loved Gotham in this film. For me, it felt like Gotham. It looks like Gotham. Cinematography, as we've spoken about, was great, but also the use of the colour palettes, the use of darkness and light, the sort of portray the struggle of Gotham as a city, but also the struggle within Batman and Bruce was brilliantly done, and it kind of reflected who he was or who the two characters are. The use of sound, the use of the music was unbelievable as well. Everything made me feel like I was in Gotham for those two hours and 50 minutes or whatever it was when I was in the cinema watching that film. Matt Reeves went crazy with this film. There's so much sort of references to the comic books as well. I had to do a bit of research about that, but there's so much sort of lore from the source material as well, yeah, for me, which I think made this, and the detective feel, the crime noir feel, is everything I want from a Batman, from a Batman film. For me, a better Batman film, but The Dark Knight is, as you said, gold standard, as it just as a film.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's where I stand. But I think we've done a fucking good job in just talking about two great films, man.
Yeah.
Two great films that will stand the test of time for different reasons. I think the Batman had a bit of the sort of the post-COVID cinema drop, if you like.
Yeah.
And I think if it came out today, we're talking about different numbers personally, in terms of box office and so on.
Yeah. Still done like pretty well. I think 700.
Yeah, definitely did well. I just think today in comparison,
it would have been
it would have been stark difference.
700 first week?
No, not first week. Like it's on. Okay. I think first week's like 100 and something.
I could watch both films time and time again for different reasons. So, and I think they're great in their own respects, which is the which is the key point about the two films.
By the way, I just want to say that I think Rises is better than the Batman. Cool.
Another conversation for another day.
There's no need for a conversation. I'm
just saying.
There's no need.
9 for Rises.
There's no need for a conversation. You pointed out the film's flaws. Man was.
I pointed out every film's flaws.
He did the press up and then was just pulled himself up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, Bane. Yeah, oh, but I hated Bane at the end. Oh, Bane loved Charlie. Oh, I believe it.
He's such a baby.
Why did he love Charlie? Oh,
my God.
Shut up, man. Get out. The post credit scene podcast, a 14HQ original. Lovers of film and TV. I am your host, Gaz. I was joined by Hussam, Manny, and Jason. The solar is also in the room. Finally.
Paul Dano, come find me.
A 14HQ original, Lovers of Film and TV, you know the vibes.
Hi, I'm Donald Glover, and you are watching or listening to the Post Credit Scene.